I don't know if many of you have been on holiday recently to France. Anyone here? Yeah, one or two people. Well, the two main characters in my story, they went on holiday to France many years ago, near a place called Bergerac. You can actually fly there direct from East Midlands Airport, and you're then you're there in no time. It talks about a small place, small airport. And they were staying in a village called Saint Maurice de l'Estapel. Hamlet, really, about just over 100 people. And they got to really like the place, and they went back again and stayed in a lovely French house and got to know some of the people and travelled around. And some of us, we go to France and we think, oh, it'd be great to have enough money to have a second home, a holiday home in France, and can visit whenever you want to. Well, they went one step further. They decided to move permanently to this village, Saint Maurice de l'Estapel. And they bought this house. It was a classic French house with wooden shutters around the windows. Needed quite a bit of repair work done it. The roof needed some tiles replacing, the slate tiles. The heating, there was just a wood burner, so they put central heating in and they replaced the kitchen that was there, and it became a lovely home, and they were living very happily. And they had a next door neighbour, Monsieur Boyne. And they saw him one day, and he was frantically going around knocking stakes in the ground, little stakes, with a notice saying, "Keep out." Really intense and totally oblivious to anything around him. And Martin, he went out and he spoke with his neighbour. He liked his neighbour. His neighbour was really helpful when things were going wrong. And he had a tractor and he had quite a big garden. He'd come and cut the lawn for them sometimes and lend them tools. So it was a good working friendship and relationship. And Marty, he says to Mr. Boyle, he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Oh, these tourists, they're horrible. The Germans, the Belgians, the Scandinavians, the English. They make such a mess. They camp on my land. They leave rubbish afterwards. I hate them." And Martin said, "Well, actually, the land where you're knocking your little signs," he said, "I think it's National Park." No, it doesn't matter," he says. I've lived here a long time," Mr. Boyd says. "I've more right to be here than they have. They shouldn't camp on this land." And then he told Mr. Boyne, told Martin the story of a neighbour who actually lived at the far end of the village, about a mile away. This was a good few years ago, and it was a peasant farmer, and there was a house next door to him that was almost a ruin. It wasn't a ruin, it still had its roof on and the walls, etc., but it hadn't been lived in for 10, 15 years. But the peasant farmer always had his eye on it. He'd loved to live there. It wasn't really the house he was after, it was a land. It was a setting. Behind this ruin of a house was a vineyard, a lake, a man-made lake, which had been built to provide water for the prune farm or the prune orchard, which was very common in this area. And he could imagine himself there, just fishing, passing the time away, having his own private lake to fish in, perhaps making money out of it and selling fishing rights, fishing permits to people who wanted to fish in around the lake. And he made the owner an offer. Somebody still lived there, but a pretty meagre existence. There was running water and electricity, but it very basic living. A bit of a hovel, really, but he refused their offers. He refused the peasant's offer of buying the place, and he sold, because house prices were rocketing. He sold to this property developer from Paris. And no sooner had the property developer acquired this ruin of a place, and he completely rebuilt it. New roof on the house, a new kitchen, rustic kitchen, new bathroom upstairs and downstairs, all the floors replaced. Everything was refurbished and it looked magnificent. Had shutters put on either side of the windows, the old ones had rotted away. And the garden, he had a wonderful swimming pool built. And all mod cons, even those of many years ago, he had solar panels. So when you had a swim in the swimming pool, you could stand under these solar powered showers by the side of the pool. And the landscape garden was your view from the terrace they built at the back of the house to the lake, the prune orchard and the vineyard, which had all been sort of thinned out so that the vine would prosper even more. And he brought down his friends from Paris and they had wonderful parties. Well, they did have one or two, and then something disturbed them. 4:30 in the morning, the cockerel would start to crow. Cock-a-doo-doo! You have to help me. I'm not very good at making the sound of a cockerel. Cock-a-doo-doo! Cock-a-doo-doo! Well, they've been partying until about 1 o'clock in the morning. And now they were blurry eyes, sort of rubbing their eyes. And then, as soon as they got back to sleep, sort of late morning, the peasant farmer would start with his drill doing do-it-yourself. Repeatedly, the noise of the drill could be heard. And then he'd start up his cement mix. He was supposed to be building a wall all round the border of his garden. Or whatever noise the cement mixer makes. And this happened day after day, and the property developer, he got angry. He said, "We can't sleep, we're woken at 4:30 in the morning. We've got this constant noise of you do-it-yourself drill and cement mixer. And if it's not that, it's your chainsaw cutting logs. We just can't sleep or relax." The peasant farmer said, "Nothing I can do about it," he says. So the property developer decides to take drastic action. He takes out an injunction to stop peasant farmer making all this noise. A noise abatement injunction. And they go to court, and the magistrate sits there. He hears both sides. The property developer's case is put very persuasively, but he finds in favour of the peasant farmer. He says, you choose to live in the French countryside. You get cockles. You have to live with that. You've rebuilt your house and no doubt made a lot of noise. Peasant farmer, he's just maintaining his house. I find in his favour. Well, the property developer was beside himself. He was a successful man and he was used to getting his own way. And he returned to Paris. His friends didn't want to come anymore. The noise was constant. You just couldn't relax or enjoy yourself. And he left the newly refurbished built house and wonderful swimming pool and terrace overlooking the lake. I didn't return for weeks, and whilst he was away, there was a mistral. I don't know if any of you ever seen a mistral. It's a bit like a spinning top, and the French know exactly what it is and what's coming, and they immediately go for cover and find a safe place. And this spinning top, almost mini hurricane, the centre of it was coming straight towards the property developer's house. The peasant's farmer's house, well, it was nearby, and there was some debris from the mistral, but the centre of the storm, the mistral, was aiming straight the property developer's house. And if you've ever been in the middle of a mistral, its power is just incredible. It could pick up a car and throw it 50 yards. And the roof of the property developer's house was, the slates were ripped off. There was a big hole at the apex of the roof. The front door was ripped from its hinges. So gales passed through the whole of the house and some of the windows were blown out. And although the mistral only lasted 20, 30 minutes, the damage was done. But of course the property developer wasn't around. He hadn't seen anything that happened. And so weeds start to grow in the house. The rain enter through the hole in the roof, and all the furnishings, the lovely leather sofas, were destroyed. And rats start to infest the house and run around and eat into the cables and all the food that had been left. There was a terrible stench. Eventually, the property developer returned. And he stood there aghast. He couldn't believe it. And he rings his insurance company and explains what's happened. Monsieur, it is negligence on your part. You've let us know way beyond the actual incident. You should have told us immediately. And although they gave him a small sum of money in recompense, no way would it cover for the damage to the buildings and the contents of the house and the swimming pool, which had been totally smashed to smithereens, cracked tiles, the tools from the shed had been spread all over the garden and smashed into the swimming pool in the terrace at the back of the house. Debris everywhere. So the property developer, he decided to sell his house. Of course, no one was interested. They looked, and even though he was selling it for a much reduced price, people didn't want the work involved, to put it right, or the cost. And secretly, through a third party, the peasant farmer put in an offer. It was a derisory offer. Little more than the value of the house before the property developer had worked on it. But he accepted it, not knowing it was a peasant farmer who was buying the house, because he'd done it through a third party, what's known as a blind offer. And the very day following the signing of the contracts at the solicitor's office, the very day contracts were exchanged, the peasant farmer was seen with his best friend celebrating over a magnificent French meal of casserole and red wine and a bottle of whiskey by the side as well. And the aroma of the herbs from the casserole, delicious. And they were laughing and giggling and a bit inebriated as they tasted the delicious French casserole and bottle after bottle of Bordeaux red wine was consumed. And when they finished the wine, they started on a lovely glass of whiskey. And what had they been eating? None other than Rufus the cockerel. Thank you.